Graham and Financial Wellness is brought to you by Investec Personal Cash Investments in Out of the Ordinary Times. Partner with Out of the Ordinary. Now, every Thursday for the next 11 weeks, we'll be hosting a financial wellness feature, and it's sponsored by Investec with private banker turned wealth coach Samkem Mhlongo. Last week's feature was about the International Teacher Child to Save Day, and Samke gave us some tips on how we could get our children to be money smart, particularly what the wealthy teach their kids about the importance of money. Now, this week we focus on the Barlow World Kulesizwe BEE Share Scheme, which was launched last Wednesday, the 10th of April. And basically, it's going to allow the black South African and the black public, members of the public, to own their share of a scheme with assets valued at a total of 2.9 billion rand. But the recent failure of BEE share schemes such as Sasol Nzalo and African Bank Limited's Inyomhlaba and Hlumisa to return any value to its investors, and sometimes actually causing losses in those cases, has left many people wondering if BEE share schemes are actually worth investing in. So to help us unpack the behind the scenes as to how BEE share schemes actually work is our resident personal finance expert, Samkem Mhlongo. Thank you so much for your time on the program today, Samkem. So lovely to have you being part of this this particular feature that we're doing on Afternoon Drive. So I want to go back to the beginning here. How is investing in a BEE share scheme different to buying shares over the counter?
Okay, so thanks, Joanne. Basically, BEE share schemes are put together to make investing in shares more affordable to the ordinary qualifying black South Africans, so anyone that qualifies as black under the BEE Act. And basically how a scheme will be put together is that there'll be a number of shares, usually of a company, perhaps an MTN, a MultiChoice, that is put into the scheme and is offered to the scheme at a discount. But now, how do we further, or how does the scheme further help the black South African?
Yes.
Those shares are offered not only at a discount in terms of the going share price, but also in terms of the funding mechanism. You don't pay the face value of the share. So a percentage of the share scheme is actually funded by an external loan, because that loan will need to then fund the scheme buying the shares from the parent company
right.
into the scheme, so that black investors can then pay maybe 50% of the going share price or value of that share.
All right.
So basically, that funding element is what a lot of people don't know about, and it is actually what actually has caused a number of the failures in the share schemes that we've seen.
All right, because that was what I was going to ask you. I mean, we've given examples here of share schemes that have failed in the past. Why do some of them fail?
So let's look at Sasol, for instance. The Sasol share scheme went underwater because when the Sasol share scheme was put together, oil, in terms of the going international price of oil, was at about $100 per barrel. By the time that the scheme matured, the going oil price was sub $60 per barrel. So what that did is that during the period, the lock-in period, which is about 5 years of that scheme, you couldn't sell your share. You had to hold it, even though Sasol as a company was going down in terms of turnover, profits, the value of the share price. You couldn't sell, and
yes.
you therefore had to hold that depreciating share.
Yes.
And remember, when the scheme matures, the bank that funded that scheme and that interest gets paid first, before any excess is made available to the shareholders, who can then use those funds to then convert those into actual shares in the parent or holding company.
Right. So it's a very complicated thing indeed, but I think you're breaking it down for us very well. So what are the risks and rewards of investing in a BEE share scheme like this?
So the risks are that you actually are taking the risks of the parent company. So, you know, a lot of people think that BEE share schemes work like funds or policies or endowments where you put your money in and forget about it. No, before you even decide to invest in, you need to look at the industry, you need to look at the company and do an investor analysis to say, what is the outlook of this company and what are the risks it's facing? Because if it does go down, for instance, with MTN, you know, the Nigerian fine did actually take a knock on the share and lower the return that would have been given to the shareholders,
yes.
but they did manage to still get something out. But you need to still be well versed around what's happening in this company I'm buying into, number one. So the risks are still there. The risks are also, I guess you could say, heightened because you don't have the liquidity that an over-the-counter share does.
Right.
You can't buy and sell as easily a BEE share as you would a normal over-the-counter share. So you then locked in that period and have to absorb that loss. Whereas an over-the-counter share, if you can see that things aren't looking too good for the company, you can exit. The rewards, however, are that, you know, you are getting the share at a discount, and those shares that do perform like your Putu Manatis do then create value for the shareholders and allow you to enter a market, the share trading market, at a discount and at a funded scheme,
yeah.
Whereas maybe you wouldn't have had the monies up front to buy the equivalent values of the shares up front.
Right.
So there are pros and cons, but I think a lot of people don't actually understand the risks associated with the BEE share scheme and assume that at the end of the maturation period, they're going to walk away with something. You may very well walk away with nothing, like in the case of African Bank.
All right. Now you've given us one important tip there, which is to do our homework before
yes.
we invest in anything like this. Any other tips to consider?
So the biggest tip that a financial advisor will give you around investing in a BEE share scheme is to read the prospectus. So I went into the Barloworld prospectus, the Aquila Caesar prospectus. It's 156 pages long.
Is it now, in legalese on top
it,
of
it
that?
It is in legalese, financialese, Greekalese. And I'm just like, I'm a finance person and this is confusing to me, okay?
Yes, yes.
So I would like to see more companies and more BEE share schemes understanding the nature of what we're trying to do. If you are saying you're putting together a scheme to bring people that don't ordinarily invest in the JSE to start investing in the scheme, why do you then give them 156 prospectus, which even a sophisticated investor like me gets confused by?
Yeah.
Surely in educating the investor, it should be simpler. There should be infographics. There should be some sort of roadshow. Help me understand what I'm doing before I get into it, so that by the time that the scheme matures and I don't walk away with the value I expected, you're not sitting with bad PR.
Yeah.
Because there's people boycotting and you know, throwing insults on social media saying you guys gave us false promises. So do the work even as the investor, but also as the people that put together the share schemes. Like, make it easy for us to understand what we're doing.
Yes. In the case of people who are never going to be able to decipher it, and I'm probably one of those people, I neither have the time nor the inclination to actually go through 150 page prospectus. 156. Sorry about that. So what do I do then? Do I take this prospectus to a financial advisor and say, help me out? Do you think that this is based on the information that I've been given, whether this is a wise investment or not?
So I would say, look at the cost structure. What is the funding structure of this scheme? So for instance, Sasol, yes, was funded about over 90% through a loan, which then tells you there's fees here, there's interest here. So what are my chances of actually being paid out after the funder has been settled? Barloworld, for instance, is funded at 80%, which is, you know, relatively conservative. And you'd want to know what are the fees associated with it. So before the loan even, there's a 10 million rand fee that Nedbank is charging to Barloworld for raising this, for issuing the loan, right?
Oh,
I'd want to know, what is the interest rate? What is the dividend yield historically of the scheme? Because the dividend yield will service my interest. So I don't want there to be interest left over or carrying over every year that will be paid out when my shares or are mature. And then that first portion must first fund the interest or the loan. So you can just think about it as if you've mortgaged your shares, basically.
Yeah.
The bank needs to be paid first.
Yeah.
And only once it's paid at the market value of the shares at the maturation will I then get the difference. So I think if we think about it that way, maybe it makes it easier to understand.
All right. So thank you very much for that, Samke. If you don't mind, we'll take one or two calls on this. Pitsi is standing by for us in Pretoria. Pitsi, what is your opinion on the whole issue of the prospectus?
Hello?
Hi there, Pitsi. You're live. We can hear you.
Thanks, this is Joseph. So my question is, on the 156-page Barloworld prospectus, I got confused whether I was on page 29. What I'm saying is, at the end of the day, I know it's my choice to invest, but what are the prospects for me? Can I take a chance with the Michael 2500 fund? I won't hold there for it. At the end of the day, it's my choice. I mean, I got confused. I just couldn't even proceed reading the whole document.
All right, PT, well done for getting to page 29 first.
You got further than me, PT. By page 2, and I looked at that like agenda, I was just, I'm done.
so he wants to know what his prospects are.
Well, Pete, you know what I'd say? It's very important with the Barlow World scheme to understand that it's got nothing to do with Barlow World operations or the holding company.
All right.
So basically what Barlow World has done is that they're selling 2.9 billion worth of properties that they lease or currently occupy into the scheme. So actually Kula Sizwe is a property holding scheme. Right. It's got nothing to do with logistics, uh-huh. right? So when you look at Barlow World and you're trying to determine the performance, you need to look at the property outlook. Because the returns, and it does say so in the FAQs. So, Peter, go to the FAQs. They're much easier to read. The FAQs will tell you that the value of your Barlow World Kula Sizwe share is linked to the commercial property outlook or the properties and the market value of the properties sitting in the scheme. So that's a very, very important note on the Barlow World Kula Sizwe scheme.
You know, people will have this question, no doubt. I mean, Barlow World isn't known for its property outlook. What should I say? Portfolio. It's known for its logistics, as you've mentioned.
Yeah.
Do you think people are going to be a little nervous about that, Zamke?
Well, they shouldn't be, because a lot of people are trying to get into property. It's a stable investment. You know, you may not have as much of a return as you would with, let's say, a trading company. But, you know, for someone who's a new investor wanting something that's slightly more solid, more predictable.
Yes.
And there are walk-in centers, number one, in terms of the scheme for assistance with applying, with the questions you may have. Barlow World Kula Sizwe .co.za, if I'm not mistaken, has all the FAQs. You can have a look. So I'm not here to tell people whether to invest or not, because that's not what I'm here to do. I'm just here to say this is the information you want to piece together when you're making that decision. And remember, with any sort of share investment, you want to put in that money only that you're willing to lose. So the minimum investment amount is 2,500 Rand.
Yes.
And what's nice with the scheme is that you can invest in your personal capacity or as an entity. So if you've got a stock file, that's a CC, for instance.
Yes.
And, you know, because there are a lot of property stock files now on the rise. And instead of buying a physical brick and mortar property, because it's got all sorts of costs associated with it, you could perhaps consider putting some Barlow World Kula Sizwe shares in there.
Very interesting indeed, and lovely talking to you, Samke. Thank you so much for that. Samke Mhlongo is a private banker turned wealth coach at TNC Wealth Partners, and we'll be hearing from her once again every Thursday over the next few weeks as she gives us some sound financial advice.